Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker, and it is a pleasure to be with you this evening. I'm so excited about this show tonight. We missed last week, but we're here again. I have a couple of announcements. Soul Retreat 2011 will be August 12th and 13th in Orlando, Florida. We are expecting unlimited possibilities, so make it your plans and your must to be there. You can visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. As I said, I'm your host. I'm an author, speaker, life coach. I've written three books. The first is From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, and that talks about my story from where I started to where I am now and how I overcame adversities in a domestic abuse marriage. The second, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. We have simply got to forgive where we've been in order to free where we've got to go. And the last book is Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing I discovered in this walk, in this journey, is that along the wayside of life, those of us that have children, we don't consider what happens to our children when we're going through traumatic times in our marriages. So Restored Vessels is a book regarding young adults who talk about situations that they've been through and how they've overcame and became productive individuals in the earth. So you can visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, to find out more information on how you can get that. Tonight we're going to be talking about playing the dating game, and I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am, Valerie. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight, and I pray that this show tonight touches you in a way that it can help you restore yourself and move forward in your present as far as what does God have in store for you, what is His plans for you. And so with that, you know, I also like to say that I am, too, an entrepreneur and a speaker. So thank you so much for joining us. Val?
Well,
are
Shirley,
we ready?
We're talking about playing the dating game here. You know, when we
do
calls and shows on relationships, it's one of our highest listened shows and replays because so many people are going through adversities when it comes to dating and relationships. Now, dating frightens me. I'm telling you, I'm in my 50s now, and it is a frightening thing.
You know, it to me, you know, it frightens, you know, when I hear frightened, I think of the unknown. Because today's society, and there's so many different dynamics to dating today. You got speed dating, internet dating, blind dates. Blind dates is a thing of the past now. And the hookup, as they call it. You got those.
Why is that?
I mean, you got so many. Val, you know, we talked about that a lot. You know, like you said, it's frightening. It's frightening to the point of who are you? Who are we really meeting? You don't know if a person is single, married, or cohabitating on the down low. It is a scary thing because the unknown. Do you really know a person that you're dating? I mean, dating used to be meeting someone, the chemistry, the courtship. But today, it's like I meet someone, you think it's chemistry, but is it an act? Or is it what they call the game, they're playing the game. There's the players. And I know some people may feel like, oh, players been played out. But no, they haven't, honey. They are alive and thriving. They are still here, and they're growing. They're multiplying. They're almost like baby kids. They multiply. And it's like to the point where men and women, they're all playing this game. So we're calling it, you know, our topic, like Val said tonight, is playing the dating game. And some of the things I thought about, okay, are you playing the game? Are you dating for the love of the game? Or are you getting played in the game of dating? Are you dating for marriage? And how do you define your relationship today? There's so many dynamics now to a relationship. You know, it's almost like you have to keep a journal. This week, okay, where am I at this week in my journal? And then you go forward in your life a month into the relationship, and then you have to go back and say, oh, my God, it was all there in the beginning. I missed something. And that's why I say it's very time-consuming. That, you know, that's the best way I can put it. It's like a full-time job. And Val, is that what frightens you about it, or is it the type of characters that are out there that are available for dating?
I'm just tired of the process.
Now, what process are you talking about? Are you talking about meeting someone, getting to know them, or are you talking about the things that go on in a date when you're dating someone now?
All the above. It's a lot of work when you're out dating. You date someone and everything goes well, and then all of a sudden the ball drops. And then, you know, you have to kind of determine and decide, okay, like you said, is this person really for real or is this all an act?
Yeah. So the whole process, you're tired of the process. And, you know, and it's always like, once you find out one dynamic of a person and you think you're going in the right direction and everything is going smooth, and then you say, as you say, the ball drops. And what I'm finding today is that these balls that are dropping they're more, you know, we call them drop balls, but they're more like the person goes into a different mode. It's almost like the season. You know, like it's spring, summer, and fall. And it's almost like clockwork sometimes. As the season change, so do date. They change from everything from that lovable person to someone that's distant, to someone that's totally shut down, or to someone that's sporadic. So, you know, it's like, okay, what is the season? And almost like, what flavor today?
That sounds like bipolar to me, Shirley.
Is that what it is? you know, it's not funny to say that if someone is bipolar or anything, but, you know, is it bipolar? Because if it is, there's a lot of bipolar people out here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it really is. Is it something that we've missed? Or
is it something
unlearned behavior?
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is individuals are in relationships and have been in relationships, and when those relationships go sour, what happens is they don't move on. They still have an emotional bondage to that relationship they've just left out of. So when they go to that next one, then they take that baggage, that negative baggage of that previous relationship, and although you're not that person, they see you as that person if you make a glimpse of something that reminds them of that. And that's where it all begins. That's where a lot of fear comes in. It's like, okay, this person is reminding me of a former love, so I'm going to shut down. And then they never really give that fresh relationship a chance because they're carrying baggage.
Okay, speaking of baggage, do you feel that some baggage is good baggage or all baggage is bad?
Well, to a degree, all baggage is bad because of the thing is you must forgive where you've been to free where you have to go. If you're carrying, there is no good baggage if you're not free.
Okay, but what about, you know, I look at some baggage as a goodie bag. If you got some good things in a bag, I mean, you want to carry those with you. And I'm not saying when I say a goodie bag, I'm referring to there's things in your life that have brought joy and you want to share that joy with someone else. There's things in your life that have made you more aware of who you are and you want to share that. Even if it's things like meditation or a good inspirational book or song, you know, because I like my goodie box, as I say. And my goodie box are those things I like to share with someone that I want to be close to me. I want to share with them and let them feel, hopefully, some of the joy that I have. I like to spread my joy. But, you know, but there's that baggage. You know, when people say baggage, so often baggage has been negative or had a negative impact on someone's life, and they carry that, you know, I call that a trunk. They drag that trunk around because it weighs them down, so they want to dump it on someone else, or they want to, like they say, misery loves company, and misery does love company. But drama needs an audience. And so in that trunk, they got misery and drama mixed in there. So they like to sprinkle that around. And some people stay, you know, and I think it was Les that said it, you know, it's like living in hell. They live and they stay in it because the streets are familiar. And so I think they carry that from relationship to relationship. And that's why I call it, you know, they're playing, they're not really dating. They just love the ideal of dating, the game. So it's a game for them. It's almost like, you know how a baseball player, somebody got to carry the bat and the ball? Mm-hmm. It's almost like that. That person that carries the bats and the balls are usually not the star player. They're usually someone that warms the bench a lot. They're usually someone that may be that person that hackles from the dugout. So, you know, that's, I relate that a lot to the game of life, that they're the ones that make the most noise, but are they being productive in their lives? But you can see them and you can hear them. So in the game, as I say, playing the game of dating, the dating game, those seem to be those types of people that get into this mode, or it's a game for them. And that game is, I'm going to be about me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to make sure I get mine. I'm going to make sure that regardless of what happens, I'm going to walk through this and nobody's going to hurt me and nobody's going to get over on me. They get so focused and get tunnel vision on that that they lose themselves in themselves. And when you get so tangled up in yourself that you're lost in your own soul, that's a scary place to be. Because if you can't look outside of that and see that there's another human being life that you can, you're affecting in the things that you do, or you get to a point that you don't care that you're affecting someone else's life, in a negative way, not the positive way, but in a negative way. That's scary. That game is so, has you so consumed. That's why we're saying, is it really bipolar or is it learned behavior? Now, you see what I mean by that?
Okay.
Because some people, you know, the behavior, they learn different things over the years. And with that being a part of it, the factor in that they've learned this behavior and they've become comfortable in it, and that's how they can be comfortable in their own skin, and they don't understand, well, what have I done to you? How have I affected you? Because they can't see outside of themselves. It's about them. It's their world. And you really just need to be happy to be a part of their world. And then that's where the frightening part comes in, that there's more and more people that are getting into that behavior, men and women, that it's an I thing. Nobody, you know, you lose yourself and your identity and everything within yourself, and then you have the other flip side is the one that are involved in it, are they getting played? Or do they become comfortable with it and complacent with it and accepting of it And then when they lose themselves, they lose their identity because they become so attached to this person that they cannot see the difference, or they haven't experienced the difference. That's when the self-esteem comes in, that the self-esteem drops to an all-time low, and it gets so low, they don't know how to pick it up again. How do you begin again? How do you move forward when you become stuck? Because when you're in certain relationships and they're like the one person in there, it's about an I thing instead of a we thing, somebody gets lost. Who gets lost and how do they get out of it? How do they move forward? And it becomes frightened to get into another relationship with this dating game because it's become a game. And we look at it as, okay, who wins? Who loses? Because when you refer to games, and I refer to baseball again, there's winners and there's losers. So the dating game, is it something that we have, when I say we, I'm talking about society, has turned dating from something very special, very courtship, the mere innocence of a courtship, that has become a game? There's winners and losers? Wow, you know, that says a lot about our society today. And then speed dating. You got, what, so many seconds to get to know someone? Everything is so quick, quick, fast, fast. That, again, we're losing ourselves. We are losing the simple pleasures of dating, the courtship, and getting to know someone. Everything is a hurry-up society today. So being that it's hurry-up, people get married, and they marry an ideal. And they lose the person that they're really, you know, they have a thought and a passion of wanting to marry this certain person, and they become so complacent within themselves or their self-esteem or dealing with someone that's about an I and has no intention of being a we, that they build this own mirage and image of the person that they're marrying. And that person can sometimes stand there and say, this is who I am. But they are like, that's what you're saying, but I see you as this. And I know you could be that, and I know I can help you get there, and I know I can change your mind. You know what I'm saying, Val? They keep going on, and then I know. Or they wish.
Yeah, I like to step in on that, too, because of the fact that it happens a lot, and that's why there's so many marriages in divorce court, and that's why a lot of relationships are actually strained, is because they want someone in their life so badly till they're willing to sacrifice who they are to become someone that individual see them as, and then you come out of the gate already denying who God says that you should be. And therein is where the dying and the stripping process comes from. You know, the Lord said, the Word of God says that the two shall become one, and that oneness does not mean dying of who you are, but more or less having that individual strengthening who you are so that you can walk together as one. So in saying that, those of you that may be listening, if you're engaged in a relationship with someone, don't give up or settle because you want that somebody in your life so badly, because that person could wind up being your worst nightmare.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And then that nightmare, it's like living in hell.
You don't want to attach yourself. One of the things, too, is you could, just like you and I both are entrepreneurs. Now, if we're involved with someone that don't even believe in this entrepreneur thing that we do, and say, well, you know, you need a real job because, those months when you got things slow, I'm going to have to carry the weight. So therein, it becomes a problem right away because they're expecting, they're counting on your money, whereas when you become in a relationship, that man is supposed to be the protector, the provider. But a lot of times, once that you say I do, then it somehow that woman's money becomes the primary to take care of the things in the home. And I've seen it happen so many times. And you know what? We let it. We allow it because we want to keep things calm.
Mm-hmm.
We settle. And that's where the problems arise, because we settle.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of settling, we settle because, you know, I feel we settle, like you said, to keep things calm. But deep down inside, it may be calm outside, but inside, there's a turmoil going on. So it's almost like that volcano waiting to erupt. And when people settle, that's what I feel is going on, and that's why you have, you know, the eruptions. And then you hear people like, what happened? She went crazy, man. Did she go crazy? Or was it something that was inside all along from not speaking up about it early on?
Well, you find that in a lot of marriages. The husband is like he comes in and he does that one thing, and all of a sudden everything just goes haywire. Like they say, all hell breaks loose. But it wasn't because he did something. It was because there was a pot boiling. That stew has been brewing a long time, and you just did one more thing, and it was ready for heads to roll. That's because you sit back and you say nothing and you settle, and then when things get out of control, then that's when domestic violence steps in. That's when, you know, the infidelity starts. Then they start, things look, starts looking greener on the other side. That's because they don't want to deal with what they have in front, their reality. They want to escape reality. That's why a lot of people cheat, because they want to escape their reality.
Wow. That is so true. Anything, even if it's only for a moment, that's their way of escaping the reality of it all. But the thing about it, even though they escape for that moment, and a lot of them just come back to it, it doesn't go away. You have to make a conscious and a physical change. You have to. And that's where the part about, when I say the game, they play, people play games and everything. All games are not good. All games are not good. All
well,
games
no
are
game
not
in
bad
a relationship
either.
Is good.
No game in a relationship is good. No. But life itself is going to be a challenge enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, we talk about this dating and, like, dating for love. You know, some people date for the love of the game. And I feel that if a person does that, they're unwilling to, those are the type of people that are unwilling to commit. But they love to date to have the companionship. But they're not willing to accept another person's needs, feelings, emotionally, or otherwise. Is totally about self. Those are the ones dating for the love of the game. And then you have those that are dating for marriage. I mean, when you say you're dating for marriage and you start dating, let's give a, you know, scenario here. You start dating someone and you say, this is the one. This is the one I'm going to marry. I know he's the one. I feel it. I understand. I think he understands me. So do we get so consumed in it that we forget what things do we have or have we put in place in our life to make us a good spouse? See, so often we find ourselves picking a good husband, But are we really ready to be a good wife or vice versa? Are we really, you know, we found a good wife, or are we ready to be a good husband for the men out there? So are we really, really ready to do a total commitment to one person? See, I think sometimes, Val, sometimes the people don't look at the full picture when they say, okay, I'm dating this person. I'm only dating for marriage. Have they really taken the time to say, okay, if I'm looking for my spouse, have I got myself ready to be a good spouse? Am I in position? Have I aligned myself with God that I may be that good spouse? So often people forget about that one thing, aligning yourself with God to be that good spouse.
Well, you
unless
know,
you align
of,
with him, you're not.
A lot of people,
I'm sorry, what
really are so caught up in themselves till they figure that that person that's getting them is getting a good thing. They're getting a gift because that's what they were raised. Their parent told them that they were gorgeous, they were magnificent, and you should be able to have what you want. You should be able to do what you want. And what happens with that is they get so caught up in what was told to them to when they get married and then a relationship with their spouse, then that relationship becomes a toxic relationship because you try to make that spouse be everything you were told that you were instead of blending those hearts and minds together and sharing equally. And that's where a problem comes in as well.
Yes. And now, speaking of the heart and the mind, I asked this question, and I've asked it before. When you're in the dating game and you're dating someone, what should you follow, your heart or your mind?
Both.
What is your best tool? You said both. One has got to lead now. Because we know.
Are you asking a question? Because I'm going to, and those of you that are listening in the audience, if you have some answers or would like to give comment, you know, one thing about Hot Topics from the Soul, we want to be able to give information, share information, receive information, and you don't even have to give your name. You can be an anonymous whoever you want to be, you know, just as long as we get some questions answered. But, you know, you don't have to listen to me. But, yes, Shirley, I do think you need to have both.
But, you know, I feel like you need to follow one because sometimes, and you know it too, that the heart is going to do what it wants to do. And even though we try to control our heart and say, I'm not going to like this person, I'm not going to love this person, and that heart would just go doop, 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 doop. And we go, your mind is saying one thing, but your heart is saying something else,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, and that's the question. If anyone in the audience would like to answer that, which one should you follow, your heart or your mind?
Because and I'd like a man to answer that. So any men, if you're on the show and you got a question or a comment or want to add to that, just press 1. Let me know you're there, and I'll include you in on the call. Just press 1
yeah.
If you want to answer that.
And then, you know, because in that dynamics of following the heart or the mind and everything, you know, it can lead to benefits in the relationship, or it can lead
what
to
kind of benefits?
Well, the benefits in the relationship of, you know, if you follow your heart, that's a feel-good. That's a feel-good benefit. I mean, where you feel happy, and everyone wants to be happy. I don't know any person that wants to be unhappy. And the heart can also lead you to pitfalls because you get that good feeling and you follow it, and then you it leads you down that road to someone that you're the only one with the feeling because the other party doesn't have the same feeling. And then you end up going, oh, man, I should have followed my mind because my mind was saying, slow down, wait, did you check this out? No, okay, did you hear what they said? You know, do you understand what they're saying? You know, because if you listen to a person, they will tell you who they are. But the heart would be like, oh, but don't it feel good? Oh, but aren't you happy? Oh, but you're not alone. You know, the heart could be talking to you. And then your mind is like, you know, wouldn't do it bad by yourself anyway. But the heart was like, yeah, but it does feel good to have somebody to hold your hand, put their arms around and give you a hug, you know, and don't throw a kiss in. The heart is just pounding away. So that's what I'm saying, some of the benefits of the heart, and then there's the pitfalls when you run into that wall. And he's like, no, okay, yeah, I got love for you, but I ain't in love with you. You know, but I thought, you know, no, you never heard me say that. You see what I'm saying? That's where the pitfalls come in at.
Okay.
And then doing that, you know, it's like, okay, where do you begin? How do you get the heart under control and let the mind take over, or put the mind in check and let the heart take over? Because the mind can also get you in trouble. There's some benefits to following the mind, and some of the benefits that I see in following the mind is that you take your time and you move into a relationship more cautiously. Or the mind can get you in trouble where you start to think too much. And I find that, you know, I've talked to several friends and everything, I was thinking. And I go, most of the time I talk to you, you're talking about you were thinking. Okay, you keep thinking now. Wait a minute. Or they'll get quiet. I said, where you been? Well, I was just been doing some thinking. And then you go, okay, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And their mind has taken them to a whole different place. That I've known, I had this one associate of mine. Mine was thinking so that they had planned their wedding and everything. But the other party didn't know anything about it. They got it all planned out. We're getting ready to take this cruise, and we're going to get married on the cruise. And, you know, they actually took a dress on the cruise. And the other party was like, what the heck? Well, I thought we would get married while we're out at sea. Okay, when were you going to tell me about these thoughts? I got love for you. Just because we're going on this cruise, we're not getting married. And they were totally devastated. But their mind had told them that this was a good thing to do and planned it out. Planned the whole thing out. So that's when I say, what do you follow, in your heart or your mind? Because there is, you know, benefits in both, and there's pitfalls. Or is it, you know, something that depends on who you're in a relationship with? How well do you know the person? And then when you talk about how well do you know someone, when do you really know them? Because you know that Santa, you don't know a person until you live with them.
And that is why I said this dating game is scary.
Yes.
Unless you know them by the spirit, you'll be in trouble.
Yes. And that's why I say you have to align yourself with God, because he will give you the gift of discernment. And if you listen. And that's why we have to, you know, just get quiet and be still. Because when you be still and you slow down and listen, God will speak to you.
Hold on, I have a caller on the line that wants to give a question, comment. Their last number is 1333. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
I think you guys are brought up a great topic, and I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think women were blessed with this great intuition, and a lot of times we don't take advantage of it. because I know personally I have fallen into a lot of those things where you know your heart is telling you one thing and your mind is telling you something else, and you rationalize, but the heart takes over and you're gone with it. And then when you look back, it doesn't work. Like, obviously, you're kidding me, you knew this wasn't going to work. Then you have the regrets about it. But while it's going on, it just feels like it just got to be good. It's all so great. But I think you should listen to both. But I think
you really
do have to slow down. You really have to.
You have to slow it down. Because,
See,
when you say, I'm glad you said both, you know, because that's why I was saying there's pitfalls and then there's benefits in both. And But aligning yourself with Christ, you know, it helps. And then, you know, we as women, especially, we have what they call the sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the mind comes in. And it when that sixth sense kick in, it's nothing like it. You can't explain why you know what you know, but you know what you know. And we have to trust it. Because I think that was God's way, because he gave man physical strength. That was his way of equaling it out by giving us that sixth sense. That we have what you call that women intuition.
Yeah.
That's what our gift is. To help us to equal out things and get a better understanding, to have the strength that we need to survive in any situation.
I find that a lot of women are so emotionally damaged too. When they go out on a date and it goes really well and that person, you know, seems to like them, a lot of times what happens is women start living a relationship out of their emotions. They fabricate something that really isn't there. It's out of their imagination. And like you said, Shirley, this person went and bought a dress and all because she was going to marry this individual, and he didn't know anything about it. And that's where we have to be so very careful, is that we don't assume for that other person.
Right. That is so true. Because, you know, but when you assume for the other person and everything, and you haven't really gotten to know that person, I think it's a situation where you're setting yourself up for a very dangerous or deep fall. And, you know, and you end up with even more emotional scars. Because then I heard people say, well, he knew how I felt or she knew how I felt. How? Did you talk about it? Did you actually talk about it? Did he actually or she actually say, I'm in love with you? Was there ever, you know, any communication regarding that? Did you ever talk about marriage?
Well, sometimes when they say, I like you a lot, here again, they live out of their imagination. Well, if he likes me and he likes me a lot, then he will love me. And then when they start doing a little more in that relationship, then they start assuming, okay, he went from liking to loving me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when a lot of times they go off into a tangent. And I'm just saying, talking about women, but it happens to men too. They go off in a tangent because, you know, if a woman treats them nice and, you know, kids around and plays, they think there's something going on. I myself am a very playful person and stuff, but you know, I also let them know, you know, this ain't going nowhere, right? You know, I'm up front.
Yep.
And if I say this is what it is, then it's what it is. So, but I know, and I'm speaking because I know it's happened several times. I've spoken to several men, I've spoken to several women, and I know this happens, so this is why I'm stressing this point. You know, in this dating game, don't get so caught up, don't get so sidetracked that you lose sight of what's real, what the reality is. and don't get caught up or lost in what is really real, what's there before you, because you want something so badly.
Yeah. And but that happens so often. You know, it's like, me personally, like, I talked with another associate, and they want it so badly, and this is a young man, he felt like, you remember we talked about the window, that frame of time in a person's life, that he had an urgency to be in a relationship that was leading to marriage. And I asked him the same questions, that some of the questions we talked about tonight. And I said, okay, are you ready to be a spouse? Well, I'm old enough. I said, that's not the question I ask you. Are you ready to be a spouse? Do you feel that you have aligned yourself with the fact that God is head in your life? And have you really taken the time to look at yourself? Do you like being alone at all? No. Okay. Do you like yourself? No. But why do you feel that you're ready to be a spouse? Because I'm approaching 35. I don't have any kids. I've never been married. And this is a man saying these things. And I'm like, I've heard a young lady say, well, you know, I'm getting to that age and my clock is ticking. This young man felt his clock was ticking. But he didn't have the insight of what it takes to be a good husband, what it takes to be a good person as far as loving yourself. I said, if you don't love yourself, he said, well, I guess I do. I don't know. I never looked at it like that. I said, how do you expect someone else to love you and you don't even know yourself? I said, you need to take the time to get to know who you are and who do you belong to. Take some time to be alone. He said, well, I'm never alone. I'm always with my friends or my boys. Okay. You want to get married and everything. Are you willing to sacrifice your relationship with your boys and stuff and concentrate on being with one person, your spouse? And then there's going to be times that you will see your boys and be with them, but the majority of your time is going to be split between your career and your family. Oh, why do I have to do it like that? And it was so much that he didn't know. And I'm thinking, young ladies, you know, you have sometimes, Val, you get the idea, you know, you hear a lot from women, but to hear from a young man that felt like his biological clock was ticking, that he needed to get married, find a woman, get married to her, and have some children. And he thought back over his past relationship, and he picked someone that he dated 8 years ago, and he started to pursue her. But she's 3,000 miles away from him. But he wanted to figure out how can he get her to know that she's the one, because they need to get married and have babies. And I had to tell him, pump your brakes, baby. Slow down. You are 34. You're not 35 yet, and you got time, but you got to get to know who you are. Very nice-looking young man. Learn to love yourself to love someone else. And I, you know, I'm really happy to say that he spent some time alone. So the last 6-8 months, it's just been him and getting to know himself. He found some things out about himself that he didn't like. So he's worked on correcting those and being a better person, period. And he said, you know, right now he's not ready for marriage, that he's still doing some work on himself. He's decided that he loves himself now. And I was really happy to hear him say that he loves himself. He said, I have some flaws. And, wow, he said, that would have really been messed up if I got married. And I still had these things in my life that I didn't, you know, work on and change it. That it was, you know, it was about what he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted. And he said, I have to think about, I will be sharing my life with someone else, and I have to take their feelings in consideration too. And I tell him, I say, you've done a lot of growing in the last 8 months. And he said, am I still in the window or am I standing by the window? I told him, I said, you may be standing by the window looking out now. But when you get back in that window, you'll be ready. So, and I say that to say that, yes, the dating game is scary, Val, because you think about it with how many people out there that don't even take the time to see if they really love themselves, and they jump right into the game, and they're playing the game, and some people are being played, but people's feelings and emotions are being hurt in the process. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I got to use myself for an example. You know,
okay.
sometimes I say that I want to get married again. I want to be with someone. But then, you know, then again, when I start thinking and I have my space, I could jump on a plane and go visit you or some of my other girlfriends or visit my family. Don't have to worry about nobody telling me I can't. If I want to go to a convention or go to the Bahamas or something, I don't have to be questioned or clocked and finding out if somebody, if I went to rendezvous with somebody. I kind of like my freedom. But then again, I would like someone, a companion in my life. And so I do understand when I say dating is hard because, you know, you get a certain age, then guys don't want to get married anymore. They rather just stay single and you know, just date. And I kind of understand that. But, you know, the older you get, you know, if you find someone that you really love, you really enjoy being around, why not make it legal? Don't allow someone to continually utilize you emotionally and you physically and not want to buy you or take care of you. If something happens, then you have nothing. You know, so you want to get married and have some type of agreement, because one of the worst things to do is that you be so in love with someone and you're living together with an individual and that individual passes away and y'all been living together all this time and then the family swoops in and puts you out and take everything and you have nothing.
Right.
So that's another thing to look at and consider as well. Because that does happen. I've seen it happen, and it is not a good thing.
Yeah, I've seen it, like you said. You've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen people live together for 20, 25 years. And like you said, when one dies or something, and then the other party gets just thrown out on the street pretty much. You think all those years that you spent with someone. And I'm like this, if I should ever go down that path again, you know, Val, because, you know, I've been there a few times. And
yeah,
as you say,
a lot of
people
soulmates. That's another topic we're going to talk about again. Is there more than one soulmate for you?
You know, and it's what, you know, going down that aisle. And, you know, it's like I've learned some love each time. At least I thought it was love. And maybe it was love.
Well, don't you know?
You know what? You start to question yourself after a while, you know, after three times, you know, was it real love?
No, but you said maybe it was love. Don't you know now?
No. I don't. I really don't. Was it love or did I have love for them, you know? But neither time was it ever a case where I loved what they did for me. It was more of how I felt in my heart. And the mind played some parts in it too, that I looked at the image, you know, it was like the mind overruled, and that's why I made the statement earlier about some pitfalls with the mind and some pitfalls with the heart. You know, the mind play part, I would say, in two of the marriages. One, my first marriage, you know, I cared, but I can't say that I was really truly in love. But the mind part was that the support that I was given, because I was very young and my parents had, you know, my mom had died, and I was responsible. I took on the responsibility of my younger siblings. And this guy said, okay, he knew my family, we've been dating for a while, and then we end up having a child. But his thing was, you know, and I didn't want to get married right away, but we got married, but he said, I can help you with the children. He was talking about my siblings. So my mind was like, that would make it much easier if I had a helpmate. And not me being a helpmate, but he was going to help me. And I said, well, he's good with his family. So there, the mind plays a part in there in help putting the pieces of that puzzle together. Now, not looking at the fact that when I see his family and his family dynamic, the dysfunction that was there, I overlooked that part. My mind pushed that away and said, well, he's different. He stands out from the rest. Not knowing that you are who you are and the apple don't fall far from the tree, you know. So I kind of pushed all that to the side. So needless to say, that didn't work. And then the second one, I felt I was in love. And again, the family dynamics was there. I felt that was my true soulmate. And to a point of everything that, you know, I felt so strong about it being my true soulmate, then, you know, I married that one twice. So, but each time the downfall came in, it wasn't about not feeling the love. It was more of a, he got caught up in the single life, and it was very hard to let go of that. And I call it the single life when I feel like if a man is married and he's outside of the marriage, and he likes all the things that he did when he was single and refused to let go of them, they're caught up in the single life. And they should have never got married in the first place until they're able to let go of that and move past that. They're unwilling to commit. Their unwillingness to commit. And they want to be single, be by themselves, so they can go from person to person to person. But on the other hand, in this situation with mine, was he wanted to be there and be that husband, but live that single life as well, and that wasn't working with me. So, yeah, I've taken a couple people soulmate, and then there was one that, again, my mind played the leading role again.
So we might have to wait until next week to continue this.
Okay, I forgot, I know I won't go into it.
I forgot we had a lot. One thing about Shirley is we have fun on hot topics from the
yes,
soul.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, she knows I'm just picking at her and stuff because you are on the call for the very first time. You have got to replay some of our older shows, and then you'll know some history on Shirley and I, and we'll share some more of our lives with you. So one thing we like to do is be transparent so that we can create a safe place, a safe environment, because we're not perfect and we don't know everything. Been through some things. Been
yeah.
through some fires and survived them.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing we do know, if we know nothing else, is that love shouldn't hurt.
That's
and
right.
We shouldn't give the best of who we are to someone that doesn't deserve it. You're worth more than that, always.
Mm-hmm. And never make anyone in your life a priority that makes you an option.
Right. Never prioritize someone that makes you an option.
at any time. And that's what we do. We prioritize and we can be in the middle of something, but if that person that our heart is beating for calls, we'll drop everything and go running. Even if it's our firstborn child, we'd be like, see ya. They can say, I need a mom, I'm hungry, can you feed me? Get a piece of bread and toast and do whatever, and that should not be. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. Any closing remarks? This hour went so fast, Shirley.
It did.
We have a lot of listeners online and on the call, but I guess nobody wanted to comment. But we have to wrap it up. Another Hot Topics from the Soul, playing the dating game. Now, Shirley, any closing remarks, and what can they listen to next week?
Well, they're going to continue to playing the dating game next week, because we still, you know, there's some different things that we didn't touch on tonight. You know, so tune in next week and email Val at soultopics@gmail.com if you have any questions or anything you'd like us to comment on. And we will be here next week to follow up with this. There's a part two, because there's so much with the dating game, like Val said, and like I said, it's different. It's scary. It's new. Some old twists. There's some spices in it. But by all means, know that you need to know who you are and who you belong to and align yourself with Christ. And so you can use those gifts that he will give you. He will give you that gift of discernment so you, too, can be safe in your dating quest. Val?
Thank you so much, Shirley. Now, if you have a brother, a cousin, or even your dad that ain't living with their mama, that have a job, have a nice bank account, own their own home, drive a nice car, you can give them my number or have them email.
Now, she's the one saying it frightens her.
I have a checklist. We're going to talk about that next week on Hot Topics from the Soul, that checklist that we have as women and men that we go through in our process of elimination. And as I said, join me next week at 8 o'clock and visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. We look forward to hearing from you and also seeing you at Soul Retreat 2011, August 12th and 13th in Orlando, Florida at the Rose and Shingle Creek. Rooms are going fast, so if you plan to attend, please join us there. Book your reservation. At least hold your room so that your spot will be available so you can enjoy the hotel and the retreat. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night.